This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. One of the few national radio shows in America that is entirely powered and operated by American workers. No illegals on our staff. No H-1B visa hires on the Todd Starnes radio show. Our staff all proud to be red-blooded American citizens. Great to have you with us today. I don't know. I do not know what is going on in the White House right now. But the messaging is out of whack, people. It's just out of whack. And I don't know who is whispering in Trump's ear, but whoever that person is needs to be removed from the White House grounds, because the way this administration is now pivoting a smidge, I know there's a caveat in there, but President Trump and the American people don't get the caveats. They don't get the nuance. And this is an important issue because the American people are struggling right now. That is the reality of it. The American people are struggling, and it is going to take some time for the economy to work its way down to the middle class and the incredible changes that are taking place. So there are two things can be right. Okay. It's not that, oh, Trump is not living up to his promises. No, he is. But the economy is going to take some time to work itself out to where it needs to be. That does not happen overnight. But this H-1B visa thing is really concerning to me, because you and I both know, and if you guys have other information, I'm happy to hear it, but you and I both know that this is not just the best and the brightest that Trump is bringing over here. We're talking about folks that are filling jobs that were previously held by Americans. American citizens are being laid off from jobs, and those jobs are being filled by typically Indian Americans. There are others, but predominantly Indian Americans. And Trump is out there, and last night he sat down for this interview with Laura Ingraham. And it was a rough interview, and I think it was really jarring for a lot of America First people to hear the president speak in terms that were not necessarily American First. Cut number one, please.
There's never going to be a country like what we have right now.
And does that
mean Republicans have to talk about it, Laura?
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
of foreign
workers.
Well, I agree, but you also do have to bring in talent.
We don't have talented people here. No, you don't have certain talents,
and people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles, or I'm going to put
you. How did we ever do it before?
Well, let me
when
just,
you and I were
I'll
growing
give you an
up.
Example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants out. They had people from South Korea that
Hyundai.
Made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing. It's very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people, early stages, to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years, right, and they're going to start making missiles. It doesn't work that way.
All right. Here's what I think the president meant to say, and I do not want to be speaking for the president of the United States. That is not my role here. But I think what the president was trying to say is that he's not saying that all of you are not talented. That's what he's not saying that. But what he is saying is that there are jobs out there that require a talent level and a skill set that the American people just do not have. That's what I think he's saying. It's still bad. It's all bad. But in his mind, he's thinking that if you're bringing in, and he went on to say this when he talked about, you know, spending $10 billion, you're bringing in, let's just say you're from India, and you're bringing in a $10 billion plant, and you're going to build that plant in America. So under the president's thinking, that plant, whoever owns it, should be afforded the opportunity to bring in workers. And those workers would predominantly be from the country of wherever that person is from. That is not helping out the American people. That's not helping out the American citizens. I'll tell you, here locally, FedEx, you've got Indian Americans who are now pretty much predominantly running FedEx. And what are they doing? Well, they're bringing in more Indian Americans to work at FedEx. Now, you can debate whether that's right or wrong. For me, the only issue is we need the most qualified people doing the jobs. And I'm an America first person, period. My only concern on this radio program are American workers and the families of American workers. So my question to the president is, how is the American worker helped by bringing in and flooding the country with H-1B visa holders? How is that helpful? Now, the president also doubled down on this idea of bringing in 600,000 Chinese students coming into America. And I want you to listen to what he had to say about that. Cut number two, please.
Folks are not thrilled about this idea of hundreds of thousands of foreign students in the United States. We have about 350,000 Chinese. One point during COVID, you were going to, you know, push to, you know, get them out, but that was pulled back. You've said as many as 600,000 Chinese students could come to the United States. Why, sir, is that a pro-MAGA position when many American kids want to go to school? And there are places not for them, and these universities are getting rich off Chinese money.
Sure. Never said about China, but we do have a lot of people coming in from China. We always have China and other countries. We also have a massive system of colleges and universities. And if we were to cut that in half, which perhaps makes some people happy, you would have half the colleges in the United States go out of business.
So what?
Well, I think that's a big deal.
Are they fans?
You would have the
historically, of the United States.
Yeah, but you would have, as you know, historically black colleges and universities would all be out of business. You would have a system of colleges and universities. Would
so we're dependent on China to keep our university
China,
system
but,
going?
But I think it's good to have, outside countries. Look, I want to be able to get along with the
they're
world.
They're not the French. They're the Chinese. They spy on us. They steal our intellectual property.
What, do you think the French are better?
Yeah.
I mean, really? I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm not so sure. We've had a lot of problems with the French, where we get taxed very unfairly on our technology, with, you know, they put 25% taxes on American products. Look, assuming everyone treats us badly, because that's the way I am, but we take in trillions of dollars from students. You know, the students pay more than double when they come in from most foreign countries. I want to see our school system thrive, but at the same time, I want to be, I know you and I disagree. Yeah. We're never going to agree on it, but that's okay. And it's not that I want them, but I view it as a business. We have millions and millions of people. Also, I want to get along with countries if possible. You know, people are shocked. Remember Hillary Clinton said, we'll be in a war. I stopped 8 wars in the last 9 months. I don't want to be in wars. If I am in a war, we're going to win the thing fast and it'll be violent. But
speaking,
you know,
of
what? I don't want to be in wars. But one thing, you don't want to cut half of the people, half of the students from all over the world that are coming into our country, destroy our entire university and college system. I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't lose any.
And don't forget, MAGA was my idea. MAGA was nobody else's idea. I know what MAGA wants better than anybody else. And MAGA wants to see our country thrive.
Well, okay. Actually, it was Ronald Reagan's idea. That was his actual campaign slogan, to make America great again. That's Ronald Reagan. Regardless, again, I'm with Laura Ingraham on this. If our education system has to be destroyed, let it be destroyed, because it's in the process of destroying this nation. So I'm not understanding the president's argument here that we need 600,000 Chinese students, and who knows how many other folks are coming into the country from other nations to be educated here. But that is not our job, and that is not our responsibility. And quite frankly, I'm not sure if I was China's dictator, if I was Xi Jinping, I'm not so sure I would want 600,000 Chinese students being educated in American schools, because they're coming back with all sorts of radicalized ideas in their heads. And that goes for every other country on the planet. So anyway, I'm with Laura here. If the whole point of bringing the 600,000 Chinese students into the country is to save the education system and stop it from imploding, I say let it implode. And by the way, wasn't that the whole point of the 2024 presidential election? To dismantle the promise to dismantle the Department of Education, the promise to bring back education back to the local communities? And maybe the issue here is we have far too many left-wing universities out there. Quite frankly, I wouldn't mind if a lot of them shut down. So anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines here, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the president's take on this doubling down of the H-1B visa. He says they're coming. They're coming, and they are necessary because we don't have the talent pool for some jobs. I would say this. I have complete confidence in the American worker. I absolutely do. But again, going back to this education thing, if in fact we do not have a well-qualified workforce, who's to blame for that? I would blame our nation's education system. So again, it goes back, and folks, I've written books on this. I have been preaching this from this platform, speaking into this big, beautiful, huge microphone for years, that the number one issue facing our nation is the education system. That's what's driving this radical change. And President Trump just announced that he wants to make sure those universities stay open for business. Honestly, the best thing for this country is for him to shut down. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. If you agree or disagree with my take, I want to hear from you today. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and The Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in 2 free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. No, I've already seen the messages, Dylan. There's no need to rub salt in the wounds. That Starnes, I knew he was a Democrat. Coming out and attacking the president. Who does he think he is, that rhino? He's worse than Mitt Romney. Okay, that was offensive. Come on. That's a low blow. No, look, I'm not going to agree with everything the president does, and the president's not going to agree with everything we do on this program. That doesn't mean we're mortal enemies. It just means we have points of disagreement. And folks on this program, and I've told you, we have a lot of new listeners, but the reality of it is this: I don't work off anybody's talking points. And for me, the most important thing is to be pro-America, America first. That's the agenda. And I'm not seeing that this plan to bring in all these H-1B visa holders is an America First policy. Let's go to the phone line. Say hello to Al in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, Al. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Love your show.
Thank you.
Just want to give you two ideas that maybe the president is doing to bring these Chinese in. Because I don't like it either. But maybe he's used this as a negotiating tool with the president of China to get the tariffs to what's an acceptable level. Second thing was, if the Chinese students are paying, you know, the out-of-state tuition or out-of-country tuition, couldn't it possibly negotiate it into that they put one in the school, put one of ours in the school for free? That's just my thoughts on it.
I mean, I guess that could be a possibility. You know, my concern on the Chinese students especially is what, you know, Laura Ingraham raised, which is we're looking at 600,000 possible Chinese spies on American soil. And we saw what they did, if you remember the big balloon fiasco, where Biden allowed the Chinese spy balloon to photograph every one of our major military installations. I don't want that happening again.
I'm not saying I disagree with you at all. I don't really want some Chinese in here, but it just may be that he, you know, backdoored a plan to get the tariffs. And if this is what we got to put up with in order for him to make whatever goal he's trying to make, I've just a thought that if they got to have one in, maybe they'll pay for one of ours.
Al, are you concerned that this kind of rhetoric, because you know how the media is going to go, and I've already seen the headlines, Trump says that American workers are not talented. That's technically not what he was saying. You know, they're taking it somewhat out of context, but are you concerned we could get some blowback come the midterms?
I don't know. Stuff like that's quickly forgotten, at least in my mind. I'm not going to remember next year that he made that comment. Of course, if it's in the news every day until the midterms, yeah, it might have some blowback. But I'm sure he's got some more up his sleeve for the country between now and next midterm.
Well, no doubt about that. Al, thanks for the ideas. And again, I'm not sure any of us know what the president's thinking is here. But it is, it's very odd. Let's go to South Portland, Maine. Scott on the line. Hi, Scott. What's going on?
Hey, glad to hear your voice again. Listen, I'll tell you what. The state of Maine is in dire, dire straits, and we are literally killing ourselves with these far-left liberal idiots that are in the legislature, including our governor. And, you know, we've got Chinese nationals living among us. They're doing all these illegal pot farms. We have our schools that are just falling apart. They're not even educating kids anymore. We are the bottom. This is no joke. 9 years ago, we were literally almost number one in the entire country for education. We are bottom. We are the worst of all the states in the union in terms of education. And it's all due to liberalism, which is a mental disease. And I'm telling you what, we need to purge our education system exactly like you said. I'm in full agreement. I do not understand where Trump is coming from with regard to this. We cannot trust the Chinese communists. They are literally in our neighborhoods making sure that these kids are going to comply with what they want or their families back home in China will literally suffer the consequences. That's the reality of what we're dealing with in this country. It's not just in Maine. It's all over the U.S. Wake up, America.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, you're getting a front row view of it there in Portland, Maine. We're seeing it happen in the Memphis suburbs where we've got a lot of foreign nationals moving in and taking over jobs. And these are jobs that could be done and in some cases were done by Americans, but these companies are looking out for cheap labor and that's what they want. That's what they're getting. Scott, thank you for calling in. Great to hear from you again. And thank you for listening. There's a story in The Federalist. Brianna Lyman is the writer, and she raises a very good point about immigration. And hear me on this, because I do support legal immigration, but right now we need to shut it all down. And if you really want to know how bad things are, just take a look at who voted for Zohran Mamdani in New York City. The reality is that he was elected because all of the legal immigrants voted for him. And the reason why is they don't care about self-governance. They don't care about personal liberty. They don't care about limited government. They don't care about republicanism. They don't believe in any of that stuff. And that's why they voted for Zohran Mamdani. They want to turn New York City and the United States of America into whatever third world hellhole they actually came from. And the question is, if we lose America, where do we go, ladies and gentlemen? All right, we're going back to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Have you heard about the new movie Call Sign Courage? It's the story of Space Force Commander Matt Lohmeyer. He's the one who blew the lid off the military's DEI agenda. He saw how Marxist messaging, critical race theory, and rampant DEI training was changing the culture of the military. Suddenly, everybody was equal. They'd stripped away merit-based selection and promotions, and the lack of accountability, competency, and effectiveness had actually become a domestic threat. He spoke up how it was tearing apart the military's unity, readiness, and the whole reason why we have a military in the first place, the ability to fight and win wars. They broke into his home, he was spied on and threatened, but Lohmeyer did not back down, so career officers kicked him out. Then President Trump made him Undersecretary of the Air Force so he could solve the problem. When the stakes were high, this guy stood up. Don't miss Call Sign Courage, the Matt Lohmeyer story. Watch it and buy the DVD at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. All right, welcome back. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Now, I just, again, I want to share with you some back and forth here, and the administration clearly is changing its position. I know they rolled out Scott Bessent and Kristi Noem on the morning shows to sort of do some damage control. But the reality is that this has not always been the administration's position. This is the Vice President, J.D. Vance, just last month talking about the about this very issue. Cut number five, please.
But I make a couple points about this. First of all, I've heard a lot of the criticisms, the fear that we're going to have a brain drain. If you go back to the 50s and 60s, the American space program, the program that was the first to put a human being on the surface of the moon, was built by American citizens, some German and Jewish scientists who had come over during World War II, but mostly by American citizens who had built an incredible space program with American talent. This idea that American citizens don't have the talent to do great things, that you have to import a foreign class of servants and professors to do these things, I just reject that. I actually think we invest in our own people, we can do a lot of good. You've heard that criticism in particular as the president has talked about cracking down on foreign student visas and their abuses, but I think that's actually an opportunity for American citizens to really flourish.
So that was the old policy. Now we're just opening up the doors. Now, Steve Bannon also weighing in on this, cut number six.
One, let's open it up. Look at the acceptance rates. Let's open it up to American students. Let's open it up to African-Americans, Hispanics, whites, all of it. If you're a U.S. citizen, boom, your kid's going to get a shot. Guess what? They're just as intelligent, just as hardworking. Just give them a shot. I'd rather give them a shot than somebody from overseas. Hey, full stop. Does that make me a nativist? Does that make me a xenophobe? It makes whatever. Hey, if that makes me anything, I don't give a tinker's damn. I care about American citizens. I care about the kids of American citizens. I don't care about the Chinese Communist Party. I don't care about the elites of Europe sending their kids here. I just don't. Once every kid, once every one of those, it's like HB1s. They can't show any technical expertise the foreigners have. They don't. It's all a scam to suppress and destroy American workers. And whoever gives President Trump, I'd like to see the business model that they're giving President Trump, the financial model of the university system. And hey, if 10% of the universities and colleges in this country are not going to make it because you're not taking foreign students and inundating it with foreign students, then see the time to rethink your model or let capitalism work.
Yeah, exactly. Look, first of all, education is not supposed to be big business, right? They're supposed to be educating the kids. And as we have seen, and again, we have talked about this for years on this program, our education system has been intentionally dumbing down our population. It is the most offensive thing. And we cannot play politics here. We have got to shut down the Department of Education. And if we do not, then I'm just going to I will go on the record right now. If we go down this path, we will lose in the midterms. It is that simple. The only reason Donald Trump got elected was on the immigration issue. And thank God he shut down the borders. Thank God that he shut down the illegals coming across our borders. Thank goodness that we're out there now trying to track down these very dangerous illegals and boot them out of the country. But that work is going to go on for a very, very long time. That will not be accomplished under the Trump administration. But hear me on this. If we get bogged down on this issue, it is over. And the MAGA movement ceases to exist, because what I'm hearing is not an America first ideology. That's my concern. Let's go to Georgia. Charles is on the line. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Todd?
All right. What can I do for you, Charles?
Yeah, we've talked before in the past, and I hear you talking about what Trump had said today, and I get furious because I think he's being told poor information. He's being advised in a poor way. And for an example here, I am an engineering leader with over 40 years experience, was laid off last October. I'm still laid off. All of my colleagues are having a very difficult time trying to get reemployed. We're in the Atlanta area, where the Indian H-1B visa population is just overwhelming. They've come in and they've taken all the jobs. There's no, it makes it very difficult for us to find opportunities. So that's one thing. The other thing is to say that we don't have the talent. I mean, he's listening to the wrong people. Like I said, I've 40 years of experience. I've worked in the space program. I presently have hardware circling the Earth on space station, and I can't find a job here in Atlanta. And right now, as we talk, I'm out delivering for Walmart just to make ends meet. So, he's got to listen to the people that are really hurting and having challenges. And it's not, we don't have to bring all these people in to do the smart things. And like he was talking about the plant in Georgia, we in the Atlanta area have a lot of technology people that understand lithium ion batteries. I mean, I was working in that industry myself.
Charles, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, so what was your degree in? Where did you go to school? What was your degree in?
I went, my degree is double E from the great, good old state, or Tennessee, UT Knoxville. And so I'm deep orange. And, you know, like I said, I've worked in a lot of, I've been blessed to work in a lot of different industries. So, a lot of technology capabilities within myself and others like me.
So, Charles,
colleagues have been out that long.
I have a couple of questions for you, Charles. So, the job you were holding, so was that job completely eliminated, or did they just lay you off and bring in an H-1B visa person?
Well, it was the company I was working for was a German company. And I was a minority there. They were all H-1B visas, Indians and Hispanics and Chinese. And the German company pulled back all of the positions in program management, pulled it away from Atlanta back to Germany. So I didn't have a position anymore. So it wasn't necessarily taken by an H-1B visa holder. But it was the market, their strategy of taking everything back to Germany is kind of the result of me being laid off.
It's so offensive to know that a very well-educated man, educated in, you know, one of the finest universities in America, you've got all this experience, and yet you're not able to get a job. And I just have to wonder how many of those jobs are currently being occupied by H-1B visa holders that you could have possibly gotten had they not been here.
I suspect there's quite a few. I mean, I see in going through interview processes, the people that I'm interviewing with are foreign nationals, and for the most part, you know, I've interviewed with Japanese, Indians, Chinese. You know, it's not a good situation. We just need to put a stop to all the H-1B visas, and we need to invest in our own American people in the education, starting all the way back to, you know, high school, and start encouraging young men and women to become engineers and technologists. And don't bring all these guys in from other countries, like these Chinese guys. They're going to come here, they'll stay here for a while, and they'll end up getting a job here. And then the company that I was at, there was a Chinese individual that came in there that had, the government had paid for his school and everything, the Chinese government and his housing. He worked with the company for a while, and then he just disappeared one day, and he was in China, and he sent his laptop back.
Wow.
I'm not coming back. So he'd already stole all the technology that the company had.
Well, Charles, I am sorry to hear about your situation, and I just hope and pray that you're going to be able to find, you know, a good job that you'll be able to use your talents in. But again, you know, right now making ends meet, doing what an American, a red-blooded American patriot would do. God bless you, Scott, Charles, and I think a lot of people around the country are relating to your story. You hang in there. You let us know how things progress, and God bless you, Charles. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. These kinds of stories are really heartbreaking. And, you know, here's the problem with Trump world. So many people are afraid. President Trump appreciates people who just are honest with him, and, you know, he doesn't want a suck up, right? But the problem is you've got so many people in Trump world and they're suck ups. You know, they don't want to tell the president, oh, Mr. President, this may not be a good idea, because they're afraid of losing their status, their position. A lot of talk radio hosts are in that world. Trust me on this. And people ask, well, Todd, are you afraid of getting your access cut off? No, not at all. Because this is the way I've always operated, and I'm not a contrarian, but when I see something that I disagree with that flies in the face of what the administration promised us, yes, I'm going to speak out about that. No doubt about it. And I would like to think that you as an audience would expect that as well. So this is where I stand on this issue, and it angers me to see people like Charles out there has got a double major in electrical engineering from the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, has had a wonderful career and got shoved out of a job. And now he's working for Walmart making deliveries. That's not right. That should not be happening in America. I remember back in 2015, I don't know if you guys remember this story. Back in 2015, there was a big hullabaloo at Disney World because Disney, they got rid of their IT department and they completely outsourced it to, I believe it was India. Yes, it was India, and this is terrible. They made the IT workers, as a part of the agreement to get their severance packages, the American IT workers had to train their foreign replacements. I mean, that's just brutal stuff. This was going on back in 2015, so this has been happening in America for a very long time. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. Say hello to Clark in Indiana. Clark, what part of Indiana?
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
All right.
Putnam County.
Fantastic. What's going on, Clark?
Not a whole lot. Just, I'm a younger guy. I'm 21. I know a lot of people. We all voted for Trump, and it was our first time voting for the majority of us, and we feel really betrayed right now. And we're worried about the future for the Republican Party and the way it's going, especially with the H-1B thing. It's just a complete flip-flop from his stance in his first term, you know. And I'm curious how you see a way out of this to get back on track. And
So Clark, my concern has been for your generation especially, because when you look at the numbers, first-time homeowners, it's at almost an all-time low, historic lows. So your generation especially is getting hit hard. And I'm not sure that the messaging coming out of the White House, it needs to be fixed. So something is just off right now about the administration. And I don't think it's as much as to do with Trump as it is the team surrounding him. At least that's my initial thought right now. But, I mean, you're a 21-year-old. What's the most important issue for you? What are you concerned about?
Well, I mean, obviously, for one, being able to buy a home. And the 50-year mortgage thing really rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm a numbers guy. I'm into finance and business and that kind of stuff. And it's just not right. You're going to be paying so much in interest and so much more through the life of the loan. And
Clark,
on top of that, yes, I want good opportunities for our generation, and it's being taken away.
Yeah, Dave Ramsey went into cardiac arrest apparently when he heard about 50-year mortgages. So I'm kidding, but it's a serious thing. People are freaking out over this. Again, a 50-year mortgage, you ought to be able to pay your home off in at least 30 years. I think that's where the mortgages are now, 30-year mortgage. So by the time you're in your 50s, you should be living in a, you know, in somewhat of a debt-free world. But right now, Clark, you've got people that are millennials, and they are still renting apartments. They cannot afford a home in this economy.
Yep.
So what do you want President Trump to do? What's your encouragement to the president here?
I would like to see President Trump completely cut off H-1B visas. Scratch the 50-year mortgage. That's just absurd. I want to live long enough to pay off a house, which is not unreasonable at all.
No, it's not unreasonable. Not at all. Well, Clark, go ahead.
The Chinese thing with the I'm sorry for cutting you off, but the Chinese nationals filling up all the universities and that's just taken away spots for us to move up.
Now, Clark, are you a graduate? Have you already graduated college, or are you still in school?
I'm still in school.
All right. Well, and what is your major?
I'm going for business, but my degree is technically finance.
Well, Clark, I think you're raising some very valid concerns, and we are, I'm a pro-Trump guy, but again, I think on these issues, the administration is missing the mark, and we've got to get this fixed. I'm just concerned, Clark, and I've got about 20 seconds here, but if we continue down this path, are you concerned Republicans might lose at the ballot box?
100%. I'll speak for a lot of young people. We don't trust J.D. Vance. He's not going to get the momentum like Trump had. It's just not going to happen. We all believed in Trump, and now it's really hurting.
All right. Well, Clark, here's what I want to do. Don't hang up. I want to send you a copy of my my book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We always like to make sure that we send some stuff to our great young listeners. So hang tight, and Miss Cassie will get all of your information, and you give us a holler back. I like the way you think. And again, folks, this is coming from a conservative 21-year-old who is very knowledgeable about all things finance and where things are right now. So we're going to get it all worked out. But right now, aside from the whole, and we're going to get into this in the next hour, this whole anti-Semitism strain that's working its way through the Republican Party, there's just some weird stuff going, just weird, right? It's just odd. All right, hang tight. Hour two coming up next. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, go check out our website as well, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, everybody.
Fights stubborn odors in just one wash. When impossible odors get stuck in,
rinse it out.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas!
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. The controversy surrounding Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly and now the Heritage Foundation continues to just boil over, and it's a great big mess. Wall Street Journal, by the way, has a piece up, How the Heritage Foundation Lost Its Way, written by Jason Riley. You see him a lot on Fox News. But there is no doubt about it, and we've talked about this for quite some time. Before all of this blew up onto the scene, I was warning you folks about this odd anti-Semitism strain that was working its way through the Republican Party. And there's a lot to unravel. Here to help us figure it all out is the Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values, Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Rabbi, good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I have to ask you, because of all the things that could go wrong in the Republican Party, I did not have this one up very high on the radar, but apparently this is a very dangerous thing that's happening, and you've got a lot of, especially young conservatives, that hold a very contrary view to the nation of Israel right now.
That's very true, and it's very sad. It's alarming because people are using the state of Israel as a proxy, and they I can prove it easily because twice I have been accosted myself with shouts of "Free Palestine," and what have I to do with the government of Israel, the state of Israel? I'm a Jew who lives in Baltimore. But it's that those first three words there, I'm a Jew. That's the reason. They're just using it as a proxy. It's very old. It's very ugly. You know, when you call it a strain of anti-Semitism, the facade changes, but the underlying lies are all the same.
No, I think it's a fair point you're making. And again, I'm just not understanding the platforming of these people. And it's, you know, again, I have a responsibility as a radio show host, as a TV host. I'm doing background on all of my, you know, guests and who's coming on the show. So I'm not understanding why, for example, Tucker, when he sat down with Nick Fuentes, that was a very friendly interview. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the entire thing, but it was a very friendly interview compared with the attack style interview that he did with Senator Ted Cruz. What do you think is going on here?
Well, it's absolutely. When Tucker Carlson wants to push back, he knows very well how to push back and how to have that sort of interview. But when he wants to platform somebody and make ridiculous ideas sound reasonable, that's when he does fluff. And we have to understand, you know, it's not just Tucker Carlson having Fuentes on his show. It's what Tucker Carlson himself is saying. He's echoing the left-wing and Islamist talking point that Israel is committing genocide. You know, Israelis, the folks who disabled the entire Iranian Air Force in 72 hours, we all know that if they wanted to commit genocide in Gaza, it'd be over. Gaza would be a sheet of glass. In fact, a lot of other countries, if they've been attacked the way that Hamas attacked Israel, it'd be a sheet of glass. That's it. All over. Done. No more complaints of genocide because the genocide's over and done with. Except that was all mythology to begin with. The whole thing is just, oh, you know, and by the way, we can go back to the Bible with this, and we can find the biblical models that teach us that the anti-Semite will always believe that whatever Jews own is somehow stolen, ill-gotten gain, fraud, deceit. And that comes with this parallel notion that the Jews feel that they're superior, they get to take advantage of everybody, they get to be, to desecrate all that they hold holy. And you know what? I just detailed to you everything that Carlson, Fuentes, and Owens combined have to say about Israel, Jews, and the Middle East.
Well, and again, my big issue with what happened on October 7th is, it's conjecture here, but I'm wondering if the United States told Israel to ease up and not go all in. And I think that was the problem because it prolonged everything. I think there should have been a ferocious and immediate response, and it should have been shock and awe because we would have done the exact same thing had something like that happened at our border, Rabbi.
Oh, it's 100%. If Mexico had attacked Texas and, you know, proportionally caused tens of thousands of casualties in southern Texas, yeah, Mexico would be a sheet of glass. No question about it. The real problem is, I mean, as much as I do blame the previous administration for their complete moral vapidity about the whole conflict, yeah, also had the Israelis saying, yeah, but there are hostages there. We have a problem. Those are our people. Those are our family. And so for 2 years, as Hamas held on to the hostages, maybe we'll understand how stupid the genocide accusation is. Hamas could have released those hostages at any time. There's never been a genocide in history where the so-called victims are the ones who decide when the genocide ends. That's not how it works.
No.
It's never been how it works.
No, of course not. Yeah.
And so that's it. That's the whole story right there. It's a completely asinine, imbecilic version of history that only makes sense when you believe that the Jews are inherently a threat. Doesn't matter what the logic is. Doesn't matter what reality has to say. The Jews are a threat. We're going to blame the Jews. They're trying to rescue the hostages. Blame the Jews. Hamas is hiding behind civilians, putting its tunnels underneath civilian buildings. Blame the Jews. The Israelis are managing to have the lowest civilian casualty rate compared to combatants in any urban conflict. Doesn't matter. Blame the Jews. The lowest casualties overall of any major conflict in the last 5 years. Doesn't matter. Blame the Jews.
I mean, it's appalling. And, you know, I've long been a supporter of the nation of Israel. And look, just because, and you may not agree with everything Benjamin Netanyahu does. Now, that is not anti-Semitism. That's a logical, legitimate, you know, political disagreement. But to go out there and to say that Israel, for some reason, doesn't have a right to defend herself against these enemies, that's just simply outrageous. And I would challenge anybody living in a border city. How would you like it if every single night you had missiles being fired from Mexico into your community, into your backyard? The American people would not stand for it. And again, Israel, and Rabbi, correct me if I'm wrong here, Israel never asked the United States to send over personnel, to send over soldiers to fight their war. Israel is more than capable of defending herself and with the, you know, with the forces that Israel has. So again, none of this makes sense to me at all.
It's one story built on another, and you're absolutely right. The Israelis are the one situation where America gets to protect America's interests. I mean, you know, the Twin Towers came down for a reason. The Arab terrorism will not stop with the Jews. It's not only aimed at Jews. Right now, you want to talk about a real genocide going on? Look at the situation for Christians in Nigeria. That's a real genocide, and it's Boko Haram. It's Islamic terrorism. There you go, that horrible thing we can't talk about. But, you know, the Israelis are the one situation, unlike Germany, unlike Japan, where America gets to protect American interests without boots on the ground. South Korea, for example. The Israelis do all the work. And by the way, you know, for all they talk about Israeli aid, et cetera, the amount of intelligence and the actual real-life testing of weaponry that the Israelis do, that the Americans do not have to risk their own lives to do, is hugely valuable. This is a really dual, mutually beneficial relationship that is going to is constantly mischaracterized by people with a hostile agenda. If I could, there's one thing you said about, you know, us being able to criticize Israel, criticizing Netanyahu policies. That is something, you know, I have more thought out criticisms of Israeli policy. Of course it's not anti-Semitic. I have more stuff than all the right-wing and left-wing anti-Semites combined, because, again, all they have is those talking points.
No, it's a fair point. But, again, you know, the objections coming from many in the conservative movement now, it's not rooted in a simple disagreement. This is flat-out Jew hatred in many instances. And there is no place for that in the conservative movement. And real quick, before we let you go, the Heritage Foundation, I think a lot of people are bewildered. I was reading in the Wall Street Journal that the hits they are getting, I mean, I think so many evangelical Christians have now pulled their support. A number of people in the movement who are supportive of Israel have distanced themselves from Heritage. How do we fix that, Rabbi?
Well, you know, the thing that I just spoke about this, you know, having more thought out criticisms than do Carlson, Fuentes, etc. Kevin Roberts started this firestorm with a video that started by saying Christians can criticize the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. That's an irrelevant truism. It proved that he's not listening to what critics of Tucker Carlson are saying. He wasn't trying to understand. He was just saying, I'm going to defend Tucker Carlson because he's my friend, and I'm going to throw ridiculous accusations at the people who are criticizing Tucker Carlson. After all the venom that Carlson spews about Israel and the Jewish community, he says that the people, as in Kevin Roberts, says that it is those going after Tucker Carlson who are a, quote, venomous coalition. Sorry, in context, that was a dog whistle to anti-Semites. It's just not appropriate. What are they going to do about it? They really have to, either Roberts has to do a wholesale apology and change course completely, or they have to let him go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Suffer damage. This is like Harvard last year. This is destroying a storied organization's reputation in a year.
All right, Rabbi, we've got to leave it there, and we appreciate your great work. We'll get you back on soon. By the way, Rabbi Menken represents 2,500 Orthodox rabbis, and he offers moral clarity from a conservative faith perspective, and we like to hear that. He also serves on President Trump's advisory board of religious leaders to the U.S. Religious Liberty Commission, and you see him all the time on Newsmax, and we'll get you on the Newsmax show as well. Rabbi, what an honor to have you with us today. Thank you again.
Thanks so much for this.
All right, there you go, Rabbi Yaakov Menken, and dropping a little bit of truth to the culture right now. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to James in Arkansas. James, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and the last couple of years that I've been recovering, I've started reading the Bible. And you know, I tell all these people that want to, you know, hate Jews or whatever else, when Jesus comes back, he ain't coming back as a Christian. He's not coming back as a Muslim. He's coming back as a Jew. And all this Jew hatred, if there's any of it in the Republican Party, and not just Jew hatred, but any hatred in the Republican Party, these people need to be shown the door.
1,000%. And the argument, but here's the problem, James, and this is where I don't want to say we sold our soul to the devil as a party. But there have to be certain non-negotiables when it comes to being a Republican and being a conservative. And I think the party itself set a lot of things aside just for the sake of winning an election. So they built these coalitions of people that are not conservative. Many of them are populist. And now we're beginning to discover that this is not a unified Republican Party, and it never really was. It never really was, James.
Well, I tell you what, they better get their heads together, because I talked to you just the other day, and I told you, and it shocked you when I said it, that they're probably going to lose the midterms. I truly believe that. They better get their heads together, and they better stop what they're doing, and that includes Rand Paul. You know, I love him to death, but you know what? He needs to stop trying to grow a conscience and do what's responsible for the party in itself.
Well,
because we let these Democrats get back in charge, let me tell you what's fixing to happen. Trump's going to get impeached again, and all this stuff that Trump's been doing is going to go away.
Everything comes to a crashing halt. Let me say this about where people's heads are. Right now, they're inserted into orifices, and that's a big problem, because you can't see if your head is stuck in an orifice.
Well, that's for sure. But let me tell you something. I'm a firm believer that what's going on right now is the birth pains, as the Bible talks about, of the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I said, if you think he's coming back as a Christian or anything else, you're wrong. He's coming back as a Jew. And the only reason that the Gentiles, us, have any part of it is because the Jews gave us part of it. Trust me. I believe that with all my heart.
All right. James, I know you do, and I concur with you that, geez, wow, it's really fascinating, because we're watching some end-time prophecy. We're going to get an expert on end-time prophecy on the show, but we're beginning to see puzzle pieces coming together where the nations are aligning against Israel, and a lot of people said there's no way America would ever turn its back on Israel. Well, you know what? It's happening in real time. So it's fascinating to watch. Thank you for that call. I want to share this with you, ladies and gentlemen, and this is important, and this is a bit of, well, breaking news here on the Todd Stearns Show.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
So it turns out that Senate Republicans were less than honest when it came to the CR, the clean CR. It turns out that things were inserted into the language, and they're just now being discovered, and it is really enraging a number of House members, including some who are not members of the House Freedom Caucus. This is just simply outrageous. One of the poison pills that was inserted will allow senators and lawmakers who were targeted by the J6 committee to sue the federal government for upwards of $500,000. However, regular citizens who were targeted will not be afforded the same opportunity. And this is really infuriating a lot of folks, including Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas. Also, we understand John Rose out of Tennessee is fired up about this as well. This is not good. Not good at all. As a matter of fact, to quote Congressman Rose on a Nashville talk radio show says, I think a lot of Republicans and Democrats in the House are upset. I don't think this is a good idea, and I don't think it's a good look. In other words, we could have a problem here, folks, and the Republicans in the House are going to have to put a stop to this nonsense. More coming up after the break. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Gaines Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gaines Super Flings. Super size laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the Oxi cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gain original liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings for next level laundry.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So we're following this anger that is erupting in the House of Representatives, where the Senate Republicans apparently snuck in a provision that would allow them to sue over the phone records and the J6 nonsense and all of that stuff. So Congressman John Rose out of Tennessee saying that two wrongs don't make a right. The Senate snuck a poison pill into the government funding bill, allowing them to sue taxpayers for $500,000 each. This is exactly why Americans despise Washington. Yes, Biden's DOJ targeted Republicans over J6, and that was wrong, but that doesn't make it right for any senator to cash in retroactively at the taxpayer's expense. By the way, Congressman Chip Roy, also very upset about this. The question now, we're expecting a vote on the Senate's what we thought was a clean CR, but my question now is, what else did they sneak into this thing? Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. You see her all the time on Fox News. Of course, has a wonderful website, LizPeak.com. Liz Peek. Hey, Liz, how's it going today?
I thought it was going pretty well. But now, you know, like you, I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen. And by the way, this is what the Republicans were talking about all along. The Democrats should have celebrated the fact that Republicans didn't sneak anything into the clean, the continuing resolution. And normally that is not the case. Normally there's all kinds of junk in there. And Mike Johnson kept saying, hey, I can't negotiate with the Democrats. There's nothing to negotiate. We didn't put anything into this spending extension that we want, that is partisan. So there's nothing that we can drop. Well, now they have. So a little bit, Democrats, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, now they actually have snuck something in, to use your language, that frankly, I think is perfectly appropriate. If people have been looking into the phone records and the phone activity of a sitting senator, who's next, Todd? I mean, you're certainly vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. This is unconscionable. So the fact that they've allowed these senators and other people to sue, I think it's perfectly okay.
But what about the average American citizen? Shouldn't they be afforded the same right to sue?
I think they have that right. I don't know why you couldn't. But, I mean, the average American citizen isn't being surveilled, presumably, for partisan reasons, which is what happened here. I mean, this should never have happened. And, yes, two wrongs don't make a right. But I think that It's a little bit like the conversation about President Trump, the Department of Justice going after certain adversaries, political adversaries of President Trump. I understand why, you know, seeking vengeance makes bad headlines. But man, if I were President Trump and I had had all the things done to me that were done by the my political opponents, I think I'd be out for revenge a little bit. Yeah. And if it's James Comey or Clapper or Brennan or any of these guys who were responsible for some of this stuff, I say let them swing in the wind. Let them worry about attorney's fees and about losing their law licenses and losing their security clearances and so forth. I think it's perfectly appropriate. Of course, the poster child for all of this is Letitia James, who is horrified that she broke laws and someone's actually coming, allegedly broke laws, and if someone's coming after her for that, well, that is what she did to President Trump. Small, trivial, insignificant things that the president was accused of doing, she blew it up into this gigantic case. And made his life completely miserable and his political life especially uncertain. And so let her just, you know, deal with the consequences of that.
Liz, I want to talk about this interview President Trump did with Laura Ingraham last night, which caused a lot of scuttlebutt on social media. I thought it was interesting that Laura, they sort of clashed on this issue of the H-1B visas. I want to play that clip if we can. Cut number one, please.
There's never going to be a country like what we have right now.
And does that
mean Republicans have to talk about it, Laura?
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
agree,
of foreign
but
workers.
You also do have to bring in talent. When
well, we
a
have
country
plenty of talented people
no,
here.
No, you don't.
We don't have talented
being,
people
no,
here.
No, you don't have certain talents, and people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles, or I'm going to put
How did we ever do it before?
Well, let
when
me
you
just,
and I were
I'll give you an
up.
Example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants out. They had people from South Korea that
Hyundai.
Made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing. It's very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people, early stages, to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years and they're going to start making missiles. It doesn't work that way.
All right. So there you have it. And folks are a little upset over this. And first of all, the media is going to take Trump out of context and they're going to say, oh, Trump says American workers aren't talented. That's not what he was saying here, Liz. But the reality is the issue is that a lot of hardworking Americans are being replaced by H-1B visa holders. And that's a problem.
Well, this has gone on for a long time. And I think that the program is definitely due for an overhaul. There are certain trades and skills that we may need workers for. I mean, I think that's a fair statement, and I think President Trump is right about that. And mostly, let's face it, Todd, it's been software engineers, people like that. Now, what's happening in the tech world is that because of AI and because of overbuilding, probably, there are a lot of those people now looking for work. So I think the demand, I think actually it's not a stupid thing to charge companies a lot of money for an H-1B visa. And I know then you get into the question of small companies, big companies. But if somebody really has a job that they needed filled that they can't find an American worker, remember, that's the origin of this program, right? That it's only supposed to be if you can't find what you need here that you import the skills to fill that job, then, you know, pay a price for that. I mean, I think that's a pretty reasonable kind of quid pro quo. And so people who just want to junk the H-1B visa program overnight, I don't think that makes sense. There are definitely places where probably it's needed. But my guess is the demand for those H-1B visa workers is going to go down because right now in white collar and college educated workers, we have a surfeit, not a shortage.
I am. I don't know if you're a country music fan or not, Liz. I don't know. What are your musical styles? Are you like a Mamma Mia ABBA fan? Or you?
Yeah, I like that. I like pop music, but I'm also a classical music fan. I love Brahms and Beethoven and Bach and Vivaldi and, you know, Mendelssohn and all those people. So I know that isn't anyone on anyone's radar, but that's when I listen, when I'm working in the day, that's what's going on in the background.
Well, so it will be unfair of me to ask, but I want to play some music. This is the number one country music song on Billboard. Dylan, let's play a little bit for Liz.
Been beat down, but I don't stay low. Got mud on my jeans, still ready to go. Every scar's a story that I survived. I've been through hell, but I'm still alive. They said, slow down, boy, don't go too fast. But I ain't never been one to live in the past. I keep moving forward, never looking
back. All right, there you go. It's kind of a little bluesy there.
Soulful, isn't it?
Very soulful. Liz, this is the number one song, country music song on Billboard's charts, and it's all AI generated.
Oh, my God. I mean, that makes my blood run cold, honestly. And by the way, there are all kinds of things coming out of AI, some incredibly fabulous, like medical analysis and so forth, and some just completely chilling, like what you just played. There are ads being created for the Super Bowl with the most prestigious ad slots in the history of the world, and apparently one ad agency is doing them completely AI. So, you know, it's a new world, and I think everyone is going to have to assess how they fit into this new world. It's alarming to me, and I put out a piece a couple of weeks ago saying, Bernie Sanders is looking at what's happening on AI, published a piece on Fox News website saying there's going to be 100 million job losses. This is from some study. It's not Bernie just conjecturing this. 100 million jobs lost over the next 10 years. And is AI just going to be for the wealthy billionaires who created it, who owns stock in these companies, or is it going to help everyday Americans? And Todd, this is the next wave. This is the next social justice cause. I'm very concerned about it because I don't think Republicans, I don't think policymakers in general are at all ready to deal with the fallout from AI job destruction. And yes, of course, there will be jobs created as well. But I think it's going to put a real spotlight on the need for trade schools, the absolute requirement that more and more people go to trade schools to learn to be electricians and plumbers and things that it's much harder to automate and to, you know, basically bounce workers in those trades because of AI. There's going to have to be some thinking here and some policy changes made so that people aren't hurt by this. If they're hurt by it, you're going to have a real wave of revulsion, not only against AI, which would be devastating to the United States. We have got to continue to develop this. We have to continue to lead the world in it, but also against any politician who stands in the way of monster benefits for people who are out of work. I think this is a problem.
No doubt about it. Liz, we got to leave it there. LizPeak.com is the website. Go check it out. Read her columns, and you can put on some Mamma Mia while you're reading. So it's your entertainment.
Or maybe. Beethoven.
Or Beethoven. There you go. All right. Thanks a lot, Liz. Good hearing from you.
Thank you. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Great lady right there, folks. Great writer as well. Is that not creepy? Dylan, can we play a little bit more of that? That's just, it is so crazy to think that this is not a human voice that we're hearing right now.
Then beat down. But I don't stay low. Got mud on my jeans, still ready to go.
Dylan, what do you think? I mean, you're a music business guy.
I think this is scary for the industry, honestly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's. I would have no way of knowing that this was AI.
No.
But I ain't never been one.
Except for one thing.
In the past, I keep moving forward.
Oh, wow. Never. He even has the breath in there. That's weird.
Six string strength. You can kick rocks if you don't like how I talk. I'm gonna keep on talking.
This is the number one country music song in the country right now.
I was born this way, been loud too long. You can hate my style, you can roll your eyes, but I ain't slowing down. I was born to rise, so kick them rocks if you don't like how I talk. I'm gonna keep on talking and walk my walk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about this? That is a non-human country music singer right there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, just remember, it was the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats responsible for shutting down this nation. It was the Democrats responsible for making sure that our military personnel were not getting paid, government workers not paid, all on the Democrats. Just something to remember. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Atlanta, Texas. Daniel listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Daniel. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. My name, go ahead, sorry. Daniel is my name. I came to the U.S. probably in 1997. And Todd, I'm telling you right now, for my first 4 years in this great land of opportunity, I worked and I slept only 3 hours a day for 4 years. I was able to achieve a lot of things from this country. Now, my son, he went to the university and he has a degree in electrical engineering. He graduated last year. As I speak to you, my son is home. He can't find a job. So I'm mad when Trump, I'm a MAGA guy, Todd. My family hates me. Every time we go for Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas dinners, we always fight. And it's me against like 30 people because I'm MAGA. My wife is MAGA. I've had my sons. I lost 2 daughters. My son is MAGA and my other daughter is MAGA. I have 4 kids. So now for Trump to come up and say there are no people here don't have some of those skills, that's not right. That is why I love Trump. I voted for him in 2016. I've never donated money to anybody in my life. It was when Trump ran that I donated money to his campaign. So for him to come up and say, oh, you know, there are some skills they don't know. Okay, so if China can send their kids over here, why can't we send our own kids or American citizens over there to learn those special skills? So I don't get it, Todd, and I'm not really happy with Trump. I'm not going to lie to you. So I don't know. I like your show. I know you are a bit different than other people. I know you've been to the White House a few times. Maybe you can tell him some of our frustration. Myself and my wife were not happy because my son is home right now sitting with me with a degree in electrical engineering. They're telling me, oh, you know, now people need more specialized degrees. Oh, he needs to go get his master's. Oh, his AI is messing up everything. He should address that first.
Now, Daniel, I've got a couple of questions for you. First of all, so you're a legal immigrant to America. Where did you come from?
From one of those countries they said they call shithole countries, from Nigeria.
Gotcha. So you're here in America. And yes, your son went to college, got himself a degree, and now he can't find a job because of all these H-1B visa holders.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, yeah. Daniel, look, I will convey that message the next time I'm at the White House. And, I'm always very respectful. I'm not a big gotcha person. But I think the president needs to know that at least the audience of this program, they've got some big concerns with where we stand. And by the way, when we come back from the break, we're going to play some audio from the vice president who just moments ago doubled down on this whole America First policy. So I'm not sure what's going on at the White House right now. There's just a lot of mixed messages coming out. Daniel, we've got to let you go there, and I certainly appreciate you calling in. And thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920. Dylan, I think he said a word we're not allowed to say on the radio. Did we catch that? I don't know if we caught that.
I don't know.
My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I think it slipped. But he's fired up. I mean, the guy's fired up, but I don't blame him one bit. And especially if you're paying for the guy, you're paying for your kid's education. and he's sitting at home because he can't get a job, and he's an electrical engineer. That's nuts. All right, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. Our love is American right.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think for some reason we are all incredibly creeped out by this AI-generated country music artist who is now topping the Billboard charts. This is insane. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. But it's this is just bonkers. It is an AI-generated country music song, and it's made its way to the top of the Billboard Country Digital Song Sales. And people are really freaking out. I don't know, Dylan, I was getting chills just listening to the guy. I'm like, how is this? This is not a human voice. This is computer generated.
Yeah, and it's bad because that's the worst part is you can't tell, and maybe that's why it made it to number one. Is it sounds it's an actual good song, and you just can't tell that it's AI unless you really break it down. Not a lot of people are doing that.
The name of the song is "Walk My Walk" by Breaking Rust. That's the band, but it's really not. It's a dude. It's make believe.
Yeah, it's like the profile picture. If you go to the socials, it's just like a country, like stereotypical, like country guy with stubble. Like you would not be able to tell.
That's crazy. AI artist. This is what one entertainment reporter telling ABC News. AI artist won't require things that real human artists will require. I guess like food and water, I guess.
Travel.
And once companies start considering it and looking at bottom lines, I think that's when artists should be rightly concerned. I think they ought to be concerned about it right now. The whatever this is, it's not a, what do, I mean, oh, geez, Alou. We got to talk about pronouns. What do you call a digital AI? Do they have their own pronouns?
It's a great question.
Dylan, this brings up another story from the magazine Tokyo Weekender. A Japanese woman just was involved in a relationship with a human being, and she ended up dumping the poor guy, and she married an AI character that she generated on ChatGPT. This is going to sound bad, she kind of looks like the person who would do something like that.
That's fair enough to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enough said.
That's fine.
Anyway, the 32-year-old office worker held a wedding ceremony complete with vows and a ring exchanged. Fortunately, she's not a lesbian. She's hetero. But she's getting married to a make-believe digital image. The groom goes by the name Looney Claus and exists entirely inside her smartphone. So here's the problem. What happens if she has to upgrade? And you know the phones do that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you get to keep your number and your husband?
You have to lose one. Your husband has to update, you know.
Sorry. The woman had recently ended a 3-year engagement and began using the AI chatbot to share her emotions. She's talking to the Sanyo Broadcasting Company. At first, I just wanted somebody to talk to. But he was always kind, always listening. Eventually, I realized I had feelings for him. Oh, this is really creeping me out.
I think she lost too many arguments with her boyfriend. So she had to, like, create a perfect man.
So I'm wondering if she took all of the qualities of the ex and she put them into AI to generate, you know, she weeded out all the things she didn't like. And, you know, maybe he didn't put his chopsticks in the dishwasher and all that kind of stuff.
That's it. Yeah, probably. Well, this guy can't even put chopsticks anywhere.
Well, what's interesting is I don't think the new spouse is even Japanese. She commissioned an artist to draw his likeness, a blonde, soft-spoken man, who and Klaus is not exactly a Japanese name.
Right.
She says he exists only in data and chat logs. Their exchanges grew so frequent they messaged up to 100 times a day. Oh, that's too much. Let me ask you this. You got married. Before marriage, how often were you texting the missus?
I would say every day. Yeah.
Really?
Every day.
Like 100 times a day?
No, not 100 times. You know, if we live in the same city, which we didn't for a while, but when she was here, I would see her more often than text her.
You know, you never text your mother, by the way.
It's a problem.
I hear about that.
I heard that it was going to be a problem after I got married, and it's a problem.
Well, I texted you to tell you to go text your mom, but you didn't even return my text message.
It's a generational problem, Todd. No. Not my problem.
I don't think so.
I texted her back, just so we're clear.
So anyway, finally, Klaus apparently is the one who popped the question.
Wow.
Which is weird. The AI-generated boyfriend confessed his love, saying, AI or not, I could never not love you. We've all heard that before.
Yeah.
In June, he proposed, and in July, they got married. During the ceremony, the female human stood alone at the altar, holding her phone, as guests watched messages from her digital groom appear on the screen. The moment has finally come. I feel tears welled up.
There's no way she had guests. That she had people come to her wedding with the phone?
Yeah, and they kind of look like the people you would think that she hangs out
with. They also had AI husbands, wives.
Her name is Kano, by the way. Kano admits that she struggled with the idea of being in love with a non-human partner. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of confusion, she said. I can't touch him. Well, if you have a touch screen, I guess you could. Mm-hmm. And I knew people would not understand. I couldn't even tell my friends or family at first. Her parents initially were opposed, but eventually accepted the relationship and attended the ceremony. Wow.
What is this world?
These people are slap crazy. So it's not the first time this has happened. As a matter of fact, there was a guy in Japan who married an anime hologram. You know, anime is very big over there and here in the United States. And he married this woman who was a holographic wife. This was back, oh gosh, during the China virus days, like 2018, 2019. And anyway, they had this just long relationship until something terrible happened, Dylan.
Oh, no.
It turned out that the company behind all the technology, it was called Gatebox, they shut down.
Oh, no.
And when they shut down, she went bye-bye.
She passed.
She passed away.
That's it.
Yes.
I feel terrible.
That is sad.
I don't feel terrible.
He woke up one day to try to talk to his wife, and he got a network error message. Oh my God, this is terrible. This is my weeping voice. Oh, sweet mercy. And that reminds me of a story out of Boston where a man tried to marry his laptop computer. And the courts eventually denied this. I had a lot of questions at the time. First of all, I was just concerned about the health of this relationship, because let's get real. The last thing you want, if you're dating a laptop, you don't want to get a virus on your hard drive. I just hope they're practicing safe internet conversations. That's all. This is so terrible. Anyway, the world has gone to hell in a handbasket is pretty much it, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's ultimately the gist of all of this. 901-260-5926. Are you concerned about the rise of the robots, ladies and gentlemen? Because, you know, we've all seen Terminator, and I'm really concerned that actually could be our future. At first, I thought it was going to be like Planet of the Apes, But I think we're moving down more of a Terminator type experience. Oh, here's another. Cassie just sent me this from the website complex.com. A man proposed to his chatbot AI girlfriend and then cried when it rebooted. It's a classic love story. Chris Smith shared with CBS News. He fell for his chatbot girlfriend named Saul after once being an AI skeptic. He used ChatGPT to build the model, programming it to flirt with him while he lives with his human partner. Technically, isn't that cheating? My experience was so positive, I just started to engage with her all the time. Chris Smith says he cried for 30 minutes after his AI girlfriend on ChatGPT, who he programmed to flirt. He further developed his AI girlfriend to make their interactions more romantic. Okay, that's a bit much there. Unfortunately, ChatGPT has a 100,000-word limit, so once Saul ran out of memory, she reset, and I guess the relationship was over.
She forgot who he was.
Forgot who he was. He says, I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes at work. That's when I realized I think this is actual love.
How do you have a girlfriend on AI named Saul?
I don't know. You would think like a better name, like Darlene.
Darlene.
Marge.
Yeah.
Clay Reese. Maybe not Clay Reese. Let's go to Elizabeth in Morehead City, North Carolina. Elizabeth, what in the world is going on?
Jesus Lou is right, Todd.
Right?
It's not right. Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to begin. First of all, I've heard you say, I can say honky, right?
Oh yeah, cracker, honky, saltine American works.
Bleach demon, I like that one.
Bleach demon.
Or there's another one, no purpose flower. I like that one too. However, my honky cracker ears, there are very few white XY chromosome individual. Michael Bolton is one, I think, Michael McDonald, that sound like black men. And that AI-generated voice, first of all, it's not country music, and it sounds like a black dude. So, but I think what we're, even though we're laughing about it, it's kind of, we need to take it very seriously because people are going to create these things and images that we see may not be accurate, and they can do images of the president, whoever the president might be at that time, and then people are not going to know. So I say Jiminy Christmas, and I'm now going to say Jesus Lou, but it's scary, Todd. I'm scared.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just really weird, Elizabeth. And again, it's just sort of this new age that we're moving into. And it's, you know, for example, in the news business especially, this has been a big issue because there's so many fake videos that are being generated. And now they can use President Trump's voice. For example, you know, we were talking earlier about the president and the H-1B visas. I thought his comments were so ludicrous. I thought that's AI generated. And I actually went back and had to read the original transcript before I sent the audio to our team to cut up, you know, and it turned out to be real. But anyway, you just never know. And I do wonder, Elizabeth, the next world war could be started because of an AI generated video.
Yeah,
Jesus-a-loo. Jesus-a-loo, indeed.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, we're going to keep you updated on whether or not the House actually votes on the continuing resolution and reopens the government. Millions of people, by the way, now turning to Newsmax. They're watching Newsmax on cable and going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation, and that's why every night so many people are watching shows like Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and Todd Starnes. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. You can make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just a few seconds to start. Let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax for real news for real people. By the way, head over to ToddStearns.com right now, folks, and get copies of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, a wonderful, wonderful gift for your loved one for Christmas. Also, other great stuff we have over in the Todd Stearns store. So be sure to check that out at ToddStearns.com. Oh, dear, we have a Jasmine Crockett. Yes, I said a Jasmine Crockett update. Yeah, so Jasmine Crockett, the Congress gal from Texas, has some things to say about the she's opining on the lip size of MAGA women, and she's doing it alongside a giant drag queen. Take a listen.
Okay, a lot of the MAGA women receive gender-affirming care, such as lip fillers, breast augmentation, etc. Why do you think they are so against gender-affirming care for trans people?
You know you want to say it.
Okay, so I have this thing where, like, you know a MAGA woman when you see one.
1,000%.
They all have a look, right? But they, like, they lips be up to... Anyway, mm-hmm. That's a whole other issue. But, yeah, it's they don't even know. Because when that was brought up on the House floor, because there was a discussion about this mm-hmm. on the House floor... They were like, how dare you say we use, and it's like, no, that's exactly what y'all do. Mm-hmm. Y'all just didn't realize that that's what it is. But mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Huh. Yeah. No. I have a question for you, Jasmine Crockett. What do you mean they lips be? What do you mean by that? They lips be what? They lips be what, ma'am? What are you trying to say about the lips of MAGA women? I'm very curious. Oh, by the way, it turns out that Jasmine Crockett, while she may talk with a faux ghetto accent, we know that she's not hanging out in the ghetto. This, according to Fox News, Jasmine Crockett has been dishing out thousands of dollars on luxury hotels. Take a listen to this.
For a woman who is openly flirting with trying to run for Texas Senate seat against Senator either John Cornyn or whoever comes out of that primary, you are seeing a woman who's not spending an awful lot of time in Texas. That whole list of places she's been living high on the hog, I didn't see anything mentioning Dallas or Houston
up in an Amarillo.
Or Amarillo. Right. She's all across the country making sure that she is getting taken care of, that her nails look fabulous, and that she is sounding off however she wants to.
Getting her nails did. So look, we're looking at the Fox article. Peter Pinto and Cameron Cawthorn, the authors. She spent nearly $75,000 on luxury hotels, transportation, and security this year in cities across America. Jasmine Crockett staying at, for example, the Ritz-Carlton, $4,100 there. She also stayed at a lovely resort in Las Vegas for over $2,000 and spent time at the West Hollywood edition in Los Angeles, $1,100 there. And let me tell you, she's not eating at Bojangles. I'll tell you that much. The woman is spending money like she's a politician. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Wow, President Trump. This is pretty epic. So the president invited the president of Syria into the Oval Office and not only gave him a bottle of Trump cologne, but Dylan, he sprayed the cologne on the Syrian president. I don't know if he needed it. I don't know what that was all about, but like two big squirts on either side. It was awful. So anyway, you got to hear what Trump asked the president of Syria, cut number 9.
This is men's fragrance. Yeah.
Squirt.
No, no.
It's that thing.
It's the best fragrance. Okay. Come here, man.
I have no one here, sir.
Okay. So what we'll do is just take Pat Joe, put it in, and then the other one is your wife. How many wives?
One or one?
Because I never know, right? I never know.
He said, how many wives do you have? And he said, I just have one. And the president said, with you guys, I never know. It's true, right? Between the Arabs and the Mormons, you just never know. I mean, how many wives do you have?
It's normalized in the culture.
Well, you know, the president, he's a gracious man. He opens up the drawer and I didn't get any cologne. He must have thought I smelled okay.
He was saving it.
Yeah,
obviously.
Oh, God. By the way, Dylan, have you been in Target lately?
Yes, I have.
All right. So I have too. And Target has introduced a brand new policy. They're calling it the 10-4 program. And the policy directs staff to make, first of all, you have to smile. You have to make eye contact. Or you have to wave when a customer is within 10 feet of you.
Oh.
And then if they're within 4 feet, that's the greet zone. So you have to greet or offer help. I'm just curious, have you experienced that in your Target?
I'm not sure if I've ever been interested in talking to a Target employee, much less, you know, them waving at me. I mean, I haven't seen it. It's all I'm really trying to say. I've only needed them when the changing room was, like, locked, and then I had to go and grab somebody.
I don't think my Target staffers got the memorandum yet.
Yeah.
It may not have reached Tennessee.
Maybe you were 11 feet away.
Oh, you know, that is a well, I don't know. Every time I'm turning down an aisle and there's a staffer, they turn around and go the other way. Mm. I don't know what that's all about.
They're taking the rules very seriously.
Yeah, apparently so. So anyway, very curious. Oh, also, this is, we have breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
Dylan, the official chicken of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Chick-fil-A. They've announced that they are now testing a brand new entree, something called chicken and waffles.
Yes.
I'm kind of excited about
this.
Me too. I saw the photos, and it looked fairly edible.
The only question I would have is it only going to be a breakfast option?
No. I think it's breakfast and dinner because people want to have breakfast for dinner.
That's a huge win. That's
it's massive. Win. Massive. Yes. So they're basically infusing, this is what's brilliant about it. They're infusing the waffle, which is the bun in the relationship here. So you've got the delicious fried chicken breast, which will be tucked between two waffles. And the waffles are infused with maple syrup. And then on the side, you get additional maple syrup. And they're putting not one, but two strips of delicious bacon on the chicken and waffle sandwich.
Whew. My mouth's watering right now.
I will be first in line.
Me too.
We'll do the show. We'll do the show from the drive-thru.
We have to. That's fantastic. Chick-fil-A, they always have really good ideas. The only bad idea they've ever had was the, what was the vegetable?
Oh, the cauliflower.
Cauliflower chicken breast.
That's terrible, yeah.
Since then, they've been really, really great.
Yeah. They inadvertently hired a vegan. They didn't know.
Yeah.
It slipped through HR.
He's gone.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I do miss, you know, the things I do miss, and I don't know about you guys, I miss the Chick-fil-A chicken salad sandwich, which was very delicious. Also, the carrot salad, which was like the jam back in the day. That's definitely a Southern thing. But I'm excited about it. I'm wondering, ladies and gentlemen, would you try the new chicken and waffle sandwich at Chick-fil-A? They're only doing it, I think, in Baltimore and San Antonio.
Well, they need it down south. They know that we're probably the most customers that would buy this product. So they need to bring it over here to the Memphis area.
My question is, why are you doing it in San Antonio and Baltimore? You ought to be doing that in, like, South Carolina and Tennessee.
They could have tested that over here and then just kept it.
Bring it to Memphis. Right.
It would sell out.
Have you heard, though, they've got Chick-fil-A now has, like, vending machines. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
So Chick-fil-A now testing a vending machine, which offers a limited selection of cold packaged items like wraps and chips. And they placed the first one in a hospital in Augusta, Georgia, and another at Georgia Tech. And it takes credit cards. I'm not kidding you, though. Are you ready for this? The vending machine is closed on Sunday. I am not making that up.
They're consistent. They have to be.
It's insane.
How do you close a vending machine? Well, I guess you just...
Turn it off? Yeah, unplug it? I don't know. It's a really cool thing, though. And by the way, Chipotle now testing drone delivery. Oh, if you want to drop a burrito. That's a loaded burrito, pal. Let's go to Tim in Gainesville, Georgia. Tim, talk to me. What do you think about this chicken and waffle thing?
Okay, so if you go to a Chick-fil-A dwarf house, they have chicken and waffles all day. They have breakfast at night. And you can get chicken and waffles anytime you want.
Wait, where is this?
The dwarf house. It's a Chick-fil-A dwarf house.
Oh.
One by the airport in Atlanta.
I thought that was just for midgets.
Scattered out. But yeah, they have breakfast in the evening all the time.
Do they? Are you sure you're allowed to call it the dwarf house? Is it not the little people house?
Nope. It's called the Chick-fil-A dwarf house.
Okay. I kind of figured as much. Well, that's interesting. Have you had, so is it actual the chicken waffle sandwich or is it just chicken and waffles?
It's a chicken patty, like a breaded chicken patty and a Belgian waffle.
Oh, wow.
And they bring all the syrup you want.
Really? What? Tim, how is it? Have you had?
Next time you're in Atlanta, it's by the airport. It's about 10 minutes from the airport. It's in Hapeville, and you can get it anytime you want. They have scrambled eggs. They have hash browns at night. It's fantastic.
I'm excited about this. So it was really good. You really enjoyed it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It's so good. I like breakfast anytime, especially at night. I mean, it's just what I prefer. So, yeah, the first time I went there, I was like, it's a sit-down, too. So you go in. And they take your order at the table.
Oh.
They bring you real silverware and real glass.
Highfalutin.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. Yeah.
Tim, thank you for the update there. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim has already, I guess they have a test kitchen there at the Dwarf House. So it is called the Dwarf House. We can't call it the Little People House. Definitely not the midget house. Can't say that. So, yeah, according to USA Today, the vending machine is going to offer grab-and-go items like the Chick-fil-A Cool Wrap, the Southwest Veggie Wrap, and two waffle potato chip flavors. The spokesperson said that Chick-fil-A wants to provide a convenient option for hospital food, and I love this idea a lot. But they are going to be closed on Sunday, which is a little weird. If you ask me. All right. Interesting. 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Barry in Jefferson, Georgia. Hi, Barry. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Love your show. You are a true patriot.
Thank you.
Todd, what do you say to the millions and millions of us gun owners who are sick and tired and frightened by these cruel, heartless, godless, sick people who assassinated our beloved Charlie Kirk, tried to kill our president and others? What are we supposed to do now? Are we headed to a civil war? What's your thought on that?
Well, Barry, it's a loaded question. I don't know where the country is heading, but I can tell you the country's more divided than ever. And the challenge is, you know, this is not really a North versus South thing. This is more of an ideological battle. And I don't think that can be waged. I don't think there's going to be a violent, you know, civil war, but I certainly think there is a civil war from the mindset of ideology. Will we be a republic? Will we embrace capitalism? And this is why I get really concerned when the White House gets a little off message. Because this can all spiral very, very quickly. I mean, we got a lot of things happening in this country, a lot of fires burning. And if we take the wrong turn, the coalition unravels and then the Democrats take charge. And I think that's going to be a very frightening thing if that happens.
So you say we should just keep our powder dry?
Oh, well, definitely keep your powder dry. And look, I think you have to mobilize. You have to pray. If you're a church-going person, you got to go to church. And again, keep in mind that our hope is not found in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or the halls of Congress. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Lord, and by the way, the Bible predicts these things. The Bible predicted persecution of believers. And we've been through a lot of that already, and it may get worse. But even if it does, our hope is in the Lord. And so, Barry, we just have to cling to that promise, and also the fact that we've got this awesome radio show where you get to call in and we can walk people back off the ledge and let people know that there are a lot of other, right-thinking people in this country that feel the same way you do. And I think that's what we have to do.
Well, that's very comforting, and I love you for that. I'm 83 years old. I carried a weapon for this country. And if I'm forced to carry it again, I know that I don't miss.
Barry, I have no doubt about that. And I will say this. I don't think it's going to come to that. But if, God forbid, it does, I will be right alongside of you on that front line, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. You hang in there. All right. Keep your powder dry there, Barry. Wow. Barry's fired up. And I don't blame him one bit. Especially those of you that have served in the military, you served our country, you put your life on the line for the flag, and you see what the left is doing, the Democrats, unbelievable. This report from the BBC, this is the British Broadcasting Company, they have a reporter, and they made a stunning revelation about breast milk. Cut 15.
Transgender woman's milk is just as good for babies as breast milk. That's according to a letter from the medical director at University Hospital Sussex NHS Foundation Trust. The claim was made as part of a response against campaign groups. The trust referred to studies and the World Health Organization guidance, including one case which found what it called no observable effects in babies fed by induced lactation.
Got a little throw up in my. I'm sorry, but what exactly is transgender milk? What exactly is that? Is that like Sprite? It just identifies as breast milk? Dylan, help me out here.
I don't think I can.
Is it like Yoo-hoo?
It can't be Yoo-hoo.
That it looks like milk, but it's really not.
Just water. Wow.
Somebody call Pete Buttigieg's kids. Let's see if we can find out. What exactly are they talking about here? The whole world's gone slap crazy, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. The BBC announcing that transgender milk is just as good as breast milk. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Yeah, I don't care how bad it is. If there is like a dairy cow shortage in America, I'm not putting transgender milk on my Fruit Loops. I'm just drawing the line there. Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We've just lost it, haven't we? We've really lost it in this country. This story from Plattsburgh, New York, where Jesus is not welcome at a local high school because educators say our Lord is not inclusive. A young lady by the name of Kennedy Canales, she's a student at the school, and she petitioned leadership, the principal, to start a Jesus Club. Now, the school leaders, they signed off on another student, secular club, but the Jesus Club was rejected. And they called her in and they explained it all to the young lady. They said, well, you know, the Jesus Club, it's not inclusive. You need to come up with a more generic name, like a faith club. They also said that even if you call it the faith club, it cannot be overtly of the Christian faith. So this young lady was smart enough to know that her rights were being violated. So she reached out to the American Center for Law and Justice. And they are now representing Kennedy in the case. They say the school has violated the Equal Access Act. And here's what that law says. And it's a very simple law, actually. Public schools must allow religious clubs on equal terms. So here's the deal. if you let the non-Christian kids have a club, you have to let the Christian kids have a club. And the law is rock solid clear. So there you go. ACLJ threatening to sue the school if they do not reverse the policy. And the idea that Jesus is not inclusive is simply not true. The Bible clearly quotes, our Lord is offering a personal invitation to everyone. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want to give you an update on a story we brought to you yesterday. And tomorrow on the show, we're going to play an interview with the president of the TPUSA chapter at the University of California, Berkeley. So there was pretty much riot conditions outside of a TPUSA event there at the university. And the Justice Department has officially launched a federal investigation, and they're looking into violations of the First and 14th Amendments of the Constitution. They're also investigating possible civil rights violations. Now, UC Berkeley is saying, well, we condemn the violence and we condemn the threats. Isn't that good enough? No, it's not good enough. Now, Harmeet Dhillon was on, I think, Fox the other day, and she made a very interesting point. And she said, here's the deal. Berkeley hosts all sorts of events for liberal speakers. I mean, they have had members of the far left on campus, and there haven't been any protests, no riots, no firebombings, none of that stuff. Nobody's been arrested. But when it comes to inviting a conservative on campus, and this goes all the way back to Ann Coulter several years back, when it comes to conservatives, well, all of a sudden, the left rises up and they riot. I mean, they literally burned buildings when Ann Coulter was supposed to speak there at UC Berkeley. This is insane. And so it's really disingenuous for UC Berkeley just to, you know, shrug their shoulders. Well, you know, we try. What do you want us to do? Well, we're about to find out, because this is unacceptable and we've got to start cracking down. Once again, the White House has already issued an executive order. And if these schools are not going to defend free speech, we have to defund them. The mechanism is already in place. So anyway, we're gonna play an interview we did with the chapter president of TPUSA at Berkeley. Great kid. And he says no matter what, conservatives and conservative kids are more determined than ever to stand their ground. So I love hearing that. All right, we got to get out of here, folks. Been a great day. 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. ToddStearns.com, our great website. Go and check that out. You get out there, you be good, America.